connecting with my body, really, because so many of us live in our heads and have all the to-do lists and the tabs open, and we're so cut off from our bodies because of the way that we live right now, because we're desensitized, really.
Hey mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, mama. Let's overcome together. Hey mama, before we dive into this amazing episode with Monique, I just wanted to remind you that our Balanced Mom Method online course is retiring at the end of this month, May 2024, and I am offering it for only $33. This course has helped so many moms reclaim their power, take back control, and ultimately transform their lives. This was not an easy decision for me, as this course has been such a guide and truly a foundation for so many moms, including myself. And I was resisting that decision for so long because of that, but I know that it's time. I know that it's time, and because even though like these foundations will trickle over into what's to come in naturally empowered living, I know it's time, and I'm so excited because it's opening so many doors and opportunities for greater evolution, and I'm truly following my intuition, my inner guidance. I'm truly, because I it was a very hard decision to let this go, but I know that there is so much more to come. So get 90% off of our life-changing course, learn how to break free from survival mode, prioritize your well-being, take back control of your habits, take back control of your life. So as we bid farewell to this amazing course, just know that you will always receive my heart, my soul, and this course truly, it will always have a place in my heart. So for only $33 until the end of May 2024, go to naturallyempoweredliving.thrivecart.com/TBMM and enter the coupon code FAREWELL, or click the link in the show notes. It's going to auto-populate the coupon. And there you go. I cannot wait for this course to serve you, as it's served so many before you. Now let's dive into this episode with Monique. Hello, hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I am your host and intuitive life mentor, Jenna Smith, and I'm so jazzed to pass the mic over to our special guest today, because we actually just hopped off a recording for her podcast, and it was just such a joy to connect and chat, and I can't wait to learn more about her and just to hear the magic that she has to share with the world and that she brings to the world. So Monique Bathis is a registered music therapist. She's a woman's mentor for mothers, a podcast host herself of the Beyond Motherhood podcast, and she's a woman's circle facilitator and feminine, I'm excited for this, feminine embodiment coach, becoming certified. That's so, so wonderful. I can't wait. I want to hear more about that. And a mom of two. So Monique, I'm just so excited just to have you share more about you, just what your mission is and how you got started and, you know, kind of your path to where you are today.
Thank you, Jenna. It's so lovely to be here. And yeah, that's all my, I guess, labels, I suppose. Yes. I live in Brisbane. I'm in Australia. And as I said, I'm a mom and all the other things. But I guess outside of all those labels, who I am a beach lover, I am a nature lover. I am very fortunate to live in a place in the world where there is beaches, beautiful beaches nearby, and beautiful scenery, mountains, and all the things. So I'm always so grateful for where I live. And I have been on a journey the last few years, couple of years in particular. I went through a separation back at the end of 2021. So that was, I guess, really the catalyst for a lot of things into what I share now with the world and how I support mothers. It was really such a stepping stone into the journey of my own self-discovery and reclaiming my own identity outside of being a partner and also being a mother, because I have two young boys. Well, my eldest is 10, so he's kind of in those tween years now, which is crazy. My
We don't
youngest
need
is
to go
turning
there. Yeah. Tweeniness.
4. I'm not ready for the teenage years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my youngest is 4, so really having a second child was also a huge life transition and navigating lots of pieces around that. And then, as I said, my separation, and that really, yeah, had me start to question a lot about who I was, what I actually wanted to bring into the world, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to show up for myself and for my children. And yeah, it led me to this reclamation of myself, I suppose, and rediscovery of who I was. And that's really what I desire for mothers, to be able to let go of the mum guilt, start to prioritize themselves, start to know themselves on a deeper level, so that they can have the relationships they want, whether that be with their children, whether that be with their partner, and just go after what they want. We all have desires, we all have dreams, but I think a lot of the time mothers put those on the back burner because we are mums, and that is an amazing thing to be, and it's such a journey. And my kids are my biggest teachers, and I'm forever grateful for the lessons that they teach me. But I'm also a woman, and I'm also a human being who has interests, who has things that I want to do in life and achieve in life. So really giving that permission slip to mothers to go after that and really start to know themselves more deeply. And I use a lot of creative expression. As you said, I'm a music therapist, so music's a huge part in what I do in my own life and what I share with mothers, and also movement and supporting your nervous system, because a lot of that, I guess, the conditioning that we have as women and as mothers, it doesn't necessarily serve us in some ways because of how society views us as women and as mothers, and I guess those expectations that we place on ourselves. So really starting to unpack a lot of that and to rewire our nervous system, because that's been a huge, huge part of my own self-discovery and just learning and understanding myself on a deeper level.
Oh, bless. Like I to be able to use your voice, through the thick, through the struggles, because like becoming a mom, that's what inspired, my business also, like starting with a blog, just 'cause, like to word vomit. Like I need an outlet outside of, the diapers, the nursing, the and it's hard, it's scary, it's lonely. To really, so then to have, a voice, maybe someone that's just a couple steps ahead of you, we still don't have it figured out, but okay, like we're here, we're telling you it's okay, like giving you that permission to, find yourself again, or to maybe just have that balance of mom, but who are you? And I love that you really, bring that loss of identity back to the surface, because the demands of motherhood are always high, right? So in reclaiming, our sense of self and self of sense of identity separate from being a mom, how do you kind of work with your clients, or using your own personal experience, kind of how did you kind of find that role?
Yeah, and you kind of just touched on it then. So I always kind of like to think of the and versus or, and that's been a huge thing for me, and also what I like to, I guess, get mothers to understand. It's not a competition between you and your kids. It's not a me or them. Yes, there are moments we need to sacrifice things and put our kids' needs and priorities first. And there are times where we can do the same for ourselves. It doesn't have to be, well, yeah, like I said, this tug of war between your needs and my needs. We can have both and they can both coexist. So it's always that power of the and, I like to come back to. And that was huge for me in noticing and realizing that I'm important too. I also deserve to explore parts of myself that may have been suppressed, for most of my life, and do the things that actually light me up and bring me joy. And sometimes that had been a bit of an experimentation, because often we don't even know, because we're so consumed with motherhood. It can be like, I don't actually know what I like anymore or what actually brings me joy outside of this role. So just realizing, and I think accepting in many ways, that I can also have things that are going to bring me joy. And I can also feel joy in motherhood, of course, as well. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be that or this. And then I think the biggest thing that I, as I probably just touched on already, is just starting to become curious really about what it is that brings you joy, what it is that lights you up. And as I said, that can sometimes be hard to know, especially in those first couple of years of being a mother, when we're so consumed by and in the trenches almost in the postpartum journey, and we're sleep deprived and all the things, to even contemplate what it is I actually enjoy doing outside of this role, it can be really hard. And even now with my kids, it wasn't really until my youngest was about, 2 or 3 that I started to question these things. Like, what do I actually like? What is it that I want to be able to do for myself that's just for me, because that's really important. And the biggest thing for me was to think about, well, what did I enjoy doing as a kid? What really brought me joy as a kid? And really doing some of that inner child work around, and as kids, we just naturally gravitate towards the things that make us feel good. And we kind of lose that a bit as we become adults. So really just sitting with, what did I love doing as a kid? What made me feel good? And for me, it was a lot of art, so, and creativity, music, dance, all of those things. And then it was a bit of an experimentation, and it was a bit of a trial and error of finding things outside of motherhood that I loved doing and that brought me joy. I started doing dancing again. And I tried a few different classes until I found one that really made me feel good. And it doesn't necessarily have to be things where you're going out and doing classes and stuff. That's amazing, yes, but it can just be about, and I've brought that sort of stuff into the home now. So I use movement at home a lot. And it's not performative movement, it's just moving because it feels good. And if you're not sure, I think some of the questions that I asked myself were, what would it feel like in my body to be all of myself? Like, what were some of the sensations that might come up? And, for me, it's like, this expansive spaciousness in my chest area. It might be like tingling, and thinking about the things that actually make you feel alive. And I think it's really coming back to that feeling in your body that you get when you are experiencing something. And for me, as I said, it was some of those creative pieces like dance, like music, and doing it for me, not because I want to do it to perform it for someone, or because I sound, quote unquote, sound good, or quote unquote, look a certain way. I do it because in my body, it makes me feel alive and I feel amazing when I do it. So coming back to that feeling of, what do I want to actually experience in my body, rather than what is it going to look like or sound like, or what's someone else going to think about me because of it? So really just coming from that place of curiosity around, what would it feel like for me to do something for me, and finding ways to do that, whether that's in the home or doing a class or whatever it may be.
Oh gosh, there's so much there. Like there was so much goodness. Going back to right in the beginning when you were using the and the or, it made me think of what's that saying? Like you need to fill your cup first. And like the cliche, sayings, right? Put your oxygen mask on first. But In another breath, because you brought up your kids and just like setting that example, and that's like almost what I want to really drive home is by you choosing, okay, it doesn't have to always be and or, but also you're showing them, okay, mom is taking time for herself, or I need this, or like you're showing them to build that, that confidence in themselves, and in my opinion, and that resilience, and that it's okay to maybe set a boundary or say no, or like do something that brings you joy. And oh, that was just so good. That was so, you just explained that so well. The other thing that came into my mind when you were just talking is it's very much taboo, if that's the right word. Because maybe someone that's reaching out to you that's struggling or facing that challenge, like, well, what brings me joy? Like, how, because I work a lot with that too. Like, what lights you up? What brings you joy? So what are maybe some common challenges that your clients face or that you face, just getting started with prioritizing yourself? Because it is a very like, oh, well, it's not selfish. Like we might think it, like it's selfish, or it's, conceited, or whatever that is, or that, we've been on the back burner for so long. Now, let's kind of take this forward step, because I could keep talking about it. So yeah, what are some challenges that you kind of help your clients work through?
The biggest barrier I think that comes up or that mothers speak of is time and feeling like they're so busy, they don't even know where they could squeeze any more time out for themselves. So a big one for me has been redefining what time actually looks like. And as amazing as it is to, and look, I go to the gym. I go to the gym and I do classes. I don't do it every day because that's not achievable for me. And I don't really need to do it every day anyway. But I think just redefining what it actually looks like to prioritize yourself and redefining what time you actually need. It doesn't have to be an hour long meditation or an hour long trip to the gym or dance class. Yes, those things are amazing. And yes, if you can do those things because you love them and they make you feel good, absolutely go and do them. But what I always teach and do myself is looking at, okay, well, what time do I have throughout my day that I could do something small, whether that's 2 minutes of something. For example, in the mornings, I meditate. Some days that literally looks like taking some 10 deep breaths before I get out of bed because my kids are already awake and jumping on me. Other days, it is actually sitting for 15, 20 minutes because I've got the space to do it. There's no right or wrong. Both are amazing. Of course, it's great to have a bit of extra time, but let's be realistic. And I think it's about being realistic about the time you have. And that's going to look different for every single mum as well. I work from home, so I have a little bit more space throughout my day to be able to just pause and go and, do a 5 minute or 10 minute meditation or move my body in some way or get my guitar out and have a little jam with myself. If you work in an office, you may not have that opportunity. I mean, I'm sure there's some things you could do as well. So just redefining what time looks like and seeing where can I actually start to weave small things throughout my day that are going to make me feel good. For some people, it might be like just going outside and just literally, I do this as well. I'll go and hang the washing out and I'll literally will just stand there with my face in the sunlight, close my eyes and just take a few breaths and feeling the warmth of the sun on my skin and in my body and permeating through my body, like it feels amazing. And it's something so small, but it's achievable, right? So I think just firstly redefining time and how you can start to make time work in your favor by doing just those small little incremental things throughout your day, because they will over time have such a huge impact. And I think the other thing is energy. Just mums feel so depleted and they're exhausted, and to even think about having to do something else, it can feel like just another thing on your to-do list, and it can feel again unachievable because I'm like, I am way too tired by the end of the day to even think about doing anything. So again, I guess it can come back to that time where you can just find those small moments. And then it also comes back to if you're doing something that makes you feel good and that lights you up, you're probably more inclined to do it, right? Rather than something that doesn't really resonate with you. Like if meditation's not your thing and you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this, even though, we know that it how amazing it is, perhaps start by finding something else that feels good for you. And whether that's moving your body, putting on some music and just sitting and listening to it. If you feel like you don't even have the energy to move, putting on like a favorite song and just being immersed in the song, not just putting it on and just having it in the background, like actually sitting and listening to the lyrics and seeing what comes up, the feelings, the emotions. Music's so emotive. Things that maybe won't feel like you need a lot of energy to do in the first place. So yeah, I guess time, energy, and then yeah, I think they're probably the two biggest things I think that I find mothers will speak about when it's like, well, I just don't have the time or I just don't have the energy. I'm so busy, and all of those sorts of things tend to come up a lot, I find.
I'm sure. And I feel, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's almost like with the energy piece of once you find that doorway, once you find, that outlet or that thing that will light you up or that does light you up, it's gonna have, we talked about this, when we got off on your podcast, it's that ripple effect of you're gonna get the energy then. It's like that momentum building, right? I forget what we were talking about, but it just kind of it came back to me just now because you'll have the discipline to start, or you'll need the discipline to maybe start, but then choosing that thing that brings you joy, it won't feel like such a chore, and then you're gonna get more energy, and then it's just gonna, you're gonna crave it. And yeah.
That's right. And then your body will remember how good it feels after you did that thing, right? So
Exactly.
then what on the days where you might feel like I can't be bothered or it just feels too much, that's what I come back to. I'm like, but remember like how good you felt afterwards. And then I go and do it and then I feel amazing afterwards. So
Exactly. It's that instinctive, that intuitive piece of what do I need today? Because I call it meditation, but it doesn't look the same every day. Some days I fall asleep. I have 10 minutes, I fall asleep. Some days I'm following a guided meditation. Some days I'm just letting my thoughts flow because I had a really hectic day. So it's just like falling back into that meditative state, let's say. But it's that instincts and trusting yourself to know, okay, like this is what I need today.
And yeah, some days that is rest. Like I'm literally just gonna lie down for 5 minutes and close my eyes.
Exactly.
And
And
maybe I'll fall asleep.
yeah, right. Set that timer on your phone. But with the time piece, it's because you mentioned like it looks different for everyone. You use the example of working in the home versus out. Well, even with yourself being freshly postpartum versus having, a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old, like your time is completely different. So in that postpartum, season, okay, maybe you do just have 2 minutes, or if you're nursing your baby, or if you're rocking them to sleep, take that time. And then you're gonna get in or be in that habit. So then once your baby gets older and you're adjusting to the ever-changing, adaptation of the next stage of life, you kind of already your body, like what you were saying, like that muscle memory piece.
I remember when my youngest was, it's probably in the first year of his life. First 18 months, and I went through a phase where I had to just pat him to sleep all the time. And there were days where I would be like, I'm just gonna, instead of feeling, the frustration coming up, how can I actually prioritize myself in this moment? And so I would use that opportunity. I'd be sitting on the floor, cross-legged with my arm through the cot, patting him and just almost meditating in that moment. I would be taking deep breaths. And I think because of the rhythm of the pat as well, that kind of got me into a meditative state. And I'm like, this is prioritizing myself. Like I could start to get really frustrated and annoyed, but right now I'm choosing to use this as an opportunity to, support my nervous system, slow my breathing down, and all of those sorts of things. So you can be pretty crafty and find ways to do it.
It's intentional. It takes a lot of intentionality, but yeah, there's Self-care doesn't have to be this luxury, or prioritizing yourself doesn't have to be like getting the massage, getting the manicure, like whatever the luxury things are. Again, you choose what you love, right? But in those moments of hard, okay, can I focus on my breath? Can I, calm my breathing? That's thank you for sharing that story. So with like your creative expression and your nervous system healing that you work through and embodiment practices, like how being central within your work, how do you help empower other moms, or kind of share specific examples or practices to help them reconnect with themselves and find that fulfillment again?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak to two different things, and such a big thing with mums, and we didn't really touch, I didn't touch too much on it before, but is around that sort of the guilt and that comes with, I think, just with being a mum in general. But when it comes to, I guess, reconnecting with ourselves and prioritizing ourselves, so we can often experience mum guilt because of this and for other reasons if we lose it at our kids and all of that. So really for me it was around, finding practices that bring me home to my body and connecting with my body really, because so many of us live in our heads and have all the to-do lists and the tabs open and we're so cut off from our bodies because of the way that we live right now, because we're desensitized really. So it was really for me about starting to, because I was so disconnected from my body, like 100%. I lived in my head. I was a high achiever. We live in a hyper masculine culture. So many of us are, but I know for myself, I struggled to allow emotions and to feel my feelings fully. So it was really for me about coming home to myself and coming home to my body and feeling safe to actually feel my feelings. And that is a slow process. It's something I'm still journeying for sure.
We all are, yeah, of course, yeah.
So movement has been a huge one for me, and not in the way that, I do dance classes, but not in a performative way. A movement in the way that it, as an embodiment practice to A, start to sensitize myself and feel what's going on in my body and come back to the wisdom of my body, the emotions, the actual physicality, like what's happening physically with my body, and all of those sorts of things. And then secondly, using movement as a way to, I guess, transmute and feel that feeling and move through it, because emotions are really energy in motion, so we need to be able to move it, otherwise it gets stuck in our body. And I mean, there's so many different embodiment movement practices, but simple ones are really can just be scanning your body from head to toe, feeling into what's there. For example, it might be you have a knot in your stomach, and it could be anything simple as placing your hand on that area and moving that part of your body, or just moving in a way that feels good. That's as that emotion, and there's no right or wrong. There's no like you have to do this movement. It is honestly just about exploring and experiencing your body in that way. And that's something that I am continuing to journey through and explore and experiment with, especially now that I'm doing this feminine embodiment coaching certification, and it's amazing just the things that I'm learning through that already. And mum guilt, particularly, as I mentioned before, like we all feel our emotions differently, right? Like we do have different sensations. For me, when I feel anxious or I feel that mum guilt, it's kind of in my heart space. It feels quite tight. I notice my heart's beating faster. So it's like, how can I move that part of my body to explore this feeling, to move it? And it could be like opening my chest, could be like moving my shoulders. And often I will use music as part of this practice, but you don't have to. You don't have to use music. Music can just be a beautiful way to also explore. But it's just kind of noticing where you're experiencing your feelings and emotions and just moving with that in a way that not only feels good, but is supporting you in a way to move that emotion. And again, it's going to look different every time you do it because there's no right or wrong way. And I think for many of us, we are so conditioned to have something, well, for example, movement, you know, often we think of movement, we think of dancing, it's a performance. This isn't a performance. This is something you do for you. And it can take a little bit of time to let go of those stories that we have in our head about what my body, quote unquote, should look like, rather than how do I actually feel when I'm doing this. And then mantras is another one I use in particular, like just in terms of vocal expression. How can I express this emotion through my voice? And again, that can take a little bit of letting go of what I should sound like. What, you know, a lot of us have these stories around I can't sing. I, and you may maybe was told that when you were growing up, or we compare ourselves to artists on the radio, rather than again, how does it feel to use my voice? It could just be making a sound. I use mantras. So thinking of, I'll use one that I come back to time and time again because it's one that's been powerful for me and I often share it. So if I've had a really crappy day with my kids and I've raised my voice at them or yelled or whatever it is, or just acted in a way that I wasn't necessarily proud of, a mantra that I come back to is the words are, I'm doing the best I can. I am human and I make mistakes. I accept myself as I am and I forgive myself.
It's
And
everything. It's everything.
yeah,
It's
and I will sing that. And I will sing it in my head. I will sing it out loud. And the reason that music and singing is so powerful is because of how, from a neurological and physiological point of view, it is, stimulated different parts of our brain and how it impacts our body rather than, for example, just saying it out loud. So it's soothing our nervous system when we sing. We're often taking deeper breaths and exhaling fully. So when we take that deep breath in, we're getting more oxygen into our body. When we use melody, so the tune of a song, or in this case, the mantra, melody is linked with and stimulates our limbic system, which is our emotion center of our brain. So we have that emotional connection to it as well. And of course, if it's something that we're really resonating with and connect to, it's that form of self-expression. And there's lots of other ways that music can help us. It helps to slow our heart rate down. So we're getting more into that parasympathetic nervous system. So music is such a beautiful way. And again, it's not about how you sound, it's about how it feels and obviously the benefits that you're getting from it as well. But even when we sing in our head, it's actually been shown to have the same benefit as we would when we say out loud. Obviously not, you know, we're not taking the deep breaths, but from a feeling safe, soothing our nervous system, it's still stimulating those areas of the brain. So that is why music is so powerful for many different reasons. So the mantra, and I'm happy to share it if you would like me to.
Yeah, I'd
I'll
love
sing it
that.
to you. And of course, I always say, like, make up your own one because
Sure.
use one that is in your language that you really connect with. But of course, you can use mine too.
No, I love that.
Yeah, so it goes. I am doing the best I can. I am human and I make mistakes. I accept myself as I am. I forgive myself.
I love that. Thank
Yeah.
you.
And you can obviously repeat that over and over again. Sing it in your head, sing it out loud. And yeah, I always just want to reiterate that your voice is yours. It's unique to you. And I think we sometimes forget that and think, I need to sound like this person or that person. But we all have a voice. And for me, using mantras and singing them or chanting them, if you are completely like, I don't even know where to start when it comes to singing a melody, like literally just use one tone. So if you just naturally sing ah, whatever that ah note is, just use that to start with. And as you start to free your voice, because so many of us have our voices have been suppressed over the years. So it can be reacquainting yourself and starting to feel safe using your voice in this way. Then you might want to start to experiment and play a little bit with that tune. But this has been so pivotal in terms of how I've started to connect with myself more, connect with my voice more, as a mum and just as a woman, to be honest, like not just as a mum, but connecting, yeah, with my body, with my voice, as well as movement. So they're the two biggest things that I've used, and hopefully give you something to think about to maybe expand on and have a play within your own life.
I love that you shared those because I have always been someone that looking at other dancers or, not feeling like, oh, I can't do that. Or just, I've never been, I always say, like, I don't have rhythm, right? And I've been seeing and feeling the past couple months, brand new experience within my meditations is I'm naturally moving and dancing and just like, I'm like, who am I? But like, I'm allowing that expression to come out as I am. And I was following, it was a guided meditation. It was a jazz breath. Have you ever heard of jazz breath? I don't know
No.
if they coined that terminology or if it is an actual thing, but it was through my meditation certification, instinctive meditation, and it was a jazz breath, and the background music was like wild animals, like your innate, like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, just like your premortal state. Is that the word I'm thinking of? But just like that primitive, just like, it was
Yeah.
phenomenal. Like it was amazing. Just like you're focusing on that breath, but just everything, the music in the background being those wild animal noises, just like coming out. And it was that first meditation, it started that for me. It was just like that click, that switch. And now I feel myself doing that so much more without the guided meditation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I that
And I can
word.
imagine, like, the more you do it, the less you're thinking about what you look like, right? And more just like, this
Exactly.
feels amazing, like, this feels good, and it feels natural. And
That's exactly why I wanted to share that because I'm very much beginning stage, of that skill of allowing my self-expression to come out in that way. And it's been a beautiful
yeah.
unfolding because it's been something I've always been very intimidated by, is allowing myself to move freely.
Yeah. And I'm sure many other mothers can relate to that too. I mean, even I do. And I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a singer. Yes, I use my voice and can probably sing in pitch and have played and sung my whole life. But, I still go through phases where I'm like, oh, because probably I'm musically trained, so I critique myself a lot. But then I come back to, well, how's this feeling? Like, how am I feeling when I'm doing this? And I just keep coming back to that, coming back to that. How's this feeling? How's this feeling?
That
And
energy in
the more I do it,
motion.
like, the more connected I feel within myself, and the more, you just, it's hard to put words to sometimes. It's just like this feeling of, like, I feel whole and just yummy.
Because I mean it's a delicate dance of, I don't want to say real life because this is real life, like learning your, I call it like your energy of alignment or your essence, your innate state of being. But then, oh gosh, now I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old and I have many hats and I'm juggling responsibilities and okay, like how can we balance this? How can we dance with this? So how do you help, moms like strike that balance in fulfilling, their creative self-expression, but then also, I mean, the daily roles like that, that's not, life is not slowing down. So how can we kind of merge that?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me, and I think we spoke, I can't remember if we spoke about this earlier in this episode or when we spoke in my episode, was around that acceptance piece around, wherever you are, what season of motherhood you're in, like, can we just accept where we are and know that, yeah, like you said, and I actually had written this down, it's doing a dance between, like, where I am in this season of motherhood and the times that I do need to put my kids and family first and the family or whatever it may be that's going on in your home life. And there are those times that I can do the same for myself, and And it's just constantly kind of doing this dance between the two. But regardless of where you are, like just being in full acceptance of that and just knowing that it's ever evolving and it's ever changing as well. I find balance such a tricky word because I'm like, is there ever balance?
I know.
It's
I
kind
love
of just
using it. Yeah.
we're shifting weight all the time, I think. So sometimes the weight's tilted down here and then it's the other end of the scale. So I think it's just accepting that that is what it is. I know for me, as I said, I co-parent, so I have my kids, we do week on week off. So I know on the week I have my kids, the scale's tilted at this end, and then obviously I do have more space. Not everyone is going to have that, of course, but even in a day, like it can keep going back and forth, back and forth. So firstly, just having real self-acceptance and starting to just lean into the okayness of wherever you are, and just knowing that it's that continual dance of many different things, not just like me and my kids, it's like my business and then everything else that comes with that as well. And then I think also a word that I love, and it's not commitment for me, it's a devotion. It's really devoting to myself and knowing that I am deserving of that. And again, it comes back to that self-worth piece. Like I had like terrible self-worth growing up. And I look back now, at the time I wouldn't have thought so. But when you actually look back, you're like, oh my God. Like I was numbing, I was like drinking heavily, like all the other things. Because I was punishing my body, mate, basically. So now it's like, how can I be truly devoted to myself and come back to the fact that by me doing these things for myself, by me putting myself first sometimes and prioritizing the things that I love and that fulfill me, it's going to have a ripple effect into all areas of my life. It's going to impact how I show up in motherhood, my relationship with my kids, how I do business, how I mean, I'm not in a relationship at the moment, but potentially down the track, how I show up in my relationship with my friends, family, all the things. So coming back to that, I deserve this, I am worthy of this, and devoting that time to myself is going to impact all areas of my life. So that is something I always come back to, especially when, I notice on the times where I start to slip a bit and like I'm like, oh, I haven't done anything for myself the last couple of days, or like very minimal. I start to notice like how my relationships with my kids is then impacted, and then I reminded myself I haven't actually really done anything for myself today or the last couple of days. And that's why I'm feeling cranky. Like that's, or I'm my capacity, at least, my capacity to hold space for my kids or to navigate those challenging moments is pretty low because I haven't, for want of a better word, filled my cup up or looked after, tended to my nervous system or whatever it may be. So, yeah, just really devoting time to yourself and knowing that you are worthy and deserving of that as well. And I think just to reiterate the time factor as well, like knowing that you don't need to have heaps of time to look after yourself and to also show up for your kids, that you can weave those small things throughout your day and do really small things that you love. And sometimes for me, that looks like inviting my kids into that space because, that's just how it has to look for that day. I don't know what your kids are like, but my kids just will take over my Spotify and they will just play their music. And there comes to a point where I'm like, okay, now we're listening to my music and we're going to have a dance. Like, I'm setting the boundary now. Like, I need to listen to something that I love and we're going to take turns now. So, doing little things like that that seem so small, but, they can have a really positive impact. So, just knowing that time can be in your favor, and that you don't need a lot of it as well. So, I guess they're the main things or the main ways that I've found to be able to balance or move through, do that dance with a little more seamlessly, I suppose.
Balance is such a polar topic, and I love the word because I know how polarizing it is. And having that conversation, I'm like, Yeah, do you even believe in balance? Because here I'm the balance mom at the podcast, but it's a dance. Like,
Yeah.
because people always think it has to be the structured, strict. No, we're not always balanced. But okay, like we're like what we were talking about, that baseline piece of okay, what feels good in that intentionality and that awareness piece. Oh gosh, what a beautiful conversation. I could talk to you for hours. It's been so lovely. So what services do you offer? What offerings do you have? How do you work with people? Where can they find you?
The best place to find me is on Instagram. It's just Monique Bathis. Do you want me to spell it, or we'll put it in the
I'll put
show
it in the show
notes?
notes. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
So that's where you're best to find me. I do have a free Facebook community called The Thriving Mother, and I do lives on that. I do different free offerings, master classes, and things in that group. I'm actually putting together a offering at the moment. It should be launching at the end of this month, so stay tuned for that. If you come on
Yay.
over to my Instagram, you will be notified of that when it's out. So there, yeah, my Instagram and my Facebook group are the two main ways that you
Lovely.
can connect with me at the moment.
Yay, that's perfect because this will be airing May 20th next week, next Monday. So that will be
Oh,
perfect
amazing.
for, yeah, go check her Instagram out to be able to not miss what is coming. So, yay, thank you so much just for your time and
Thank you.
energy and the space that we shared today. It was wonderful.
Been great. I appreciate it.
Lovely. Awesome. Well, until next week, mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to learn your energy of alignment and deepen your relationship within. We are sending our love and light.
Did you find this episode relatable and compelling? Please give my review.
Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mom at the podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.